Hi, welcome to our Work Together Anywhere podcast series. Thank you for joining us today, and we're delighted to have you involved. This series is specifically designed by Ricoh UK to help you navigate the challenges and opportunities organisations face today. From a pandemic to Brexit, from empowering your people to optimising the workplace, whether it's process automation or IT infrastructure and cloud services, there is something here for everyone. These podcasts contain the latest advice and good practice from industry experts and business leaders. We'll be sharing knowledge and helpful strategies to guide you, your people, and your organization towards your business goals. Before we get started, just a reminder, you can find on-demand webinars, upcoming events, and our podcasts at insights.ricoh.co.uk. Simply click register for webinars. Now let's begin.
Today, we're looking at how architecture and our environment can promote creativity and also enhance the brands we work for and with, can therefore inspire us to delve deeper into creating a healthier, more engaged culture. Here at Ricoh, our offerings span from anything to do with the printers and printing technologies of ever-increasing types, through to infrastructure such as IT and cybersecurity, to consultancy around workplace strategies in small, medium or large enterprises. Our research into the evolving physical and virtual world of work has shown us the resulting cultural changes and different workplace behaviour, which impacts employee productivity, or as Dan will explain a bit later, creativity, and therefore client perception, business agility, and ultimately organisational success. So I'm delighted today to be joined by Dan Moskrop, CEO and founder of Them Design Limited, the creativity agency that taps into both branding and architecture. Branding has a real impact on the wider success of a company and can create an emotional connection with your business. There has never been a more important time to build brand engagement. Without it, it doesn't matter who your staff work for or if most of their time is spent at home at their dining room tables. So companies such as Them can help transform how your business engages with the people it interacts with internally and externally. So Dan, Ricoh work at the intersection of people and information. You work at the intersection of branding and architecture. So welcome and good to have you here. Thanks. Let's start with telling our listeners a bit about yourself, your company and what you guys do.
Thanks very much. What a lovely introduction. I think we're a branding agency at the very heart of what we do. And over the last few years, probably over the last 8 years, we've sort of specialised more and more in how brand is experienced on a physical level. And as an agency, we've been going for about 17 years now, which freaks me out. It does really scare me a little bit. It makes me feel quite old. But we started off many moons ago doing the sort of really lovely work that designers love to do, like album sleeves and things like that, and as things became more digital, I started to lose my love for things. So I'm an absolute print head. I love physical stuff, and you know, we took on lovely projects that made us zero money. I think when we first started talking, I was telling you about the time we created an album sleeve for City Rockers, and I think the total budget was £5,000, and we decided to make a huge neon sign and go and photograph it. It's for a band called the Sunshine Underground. We were gonna photograph a huge neon sign out in some woods in the middle of nowhere, and so the plan was to shoot this neon sign in random locations. I think the sign cost us £1,200 to make, £500 for us to hire a van. And then we drove this sign out and it blew up in the tree. So we'd lost the sign, we'd scratched the van on the way home. So we weren't ever very good at making money, but we're very good at making cool things. And I think that I've always been really passionate about creating objects and physical things. And what happened with the business was, over the sort of last sort of 8, 10 years, we started to sort of lose love for digital. I just hated doing websites at the time. And I think what's happened over time is we've evolved into creating physical things, and I found this amazing passion for creating cool art and installations and stuff that captures culture for the people we work for, people like McKinsey, Sony Music, Primark, TK Maxx. And we sort of work with them to understand what their culture's about and how we should represent it in their workspace or in their environments, basically.
It's, you know, all of this stuff and the way the world's moving and changing culture, it's an opportunity, I think. When we've moved recently away from, you know, just driving printers to working, you know, flexibly. You know, we work totally differently than we did a few years ago. But there is a threat to organisational survival if it's lost, I think. And some of our research has showed that and explored some of the effects of the changes. I think we've got a link below that you can, or the viewers can grab that from. But from a design point of view, what sort of trends have emerged when it comes to the future of the workplace?
Obviously, at the minute, it's quite an interesting period. What we're sort of hearing back from our clients at the minute is the lack of collaboration and the lack of creativity and the lack of culture at the minute, or trying to make that work in this sort of hybrid state that we're currently in. So I think that I don't think anyone's got the answer to what exactly the workplace should look like. There's a lot of information being bandied around about hybrid offices and things like that, but that's really just a sort of catch-all term for working at home and working in the office and having a little bit of a mixture. What I think is really interesting, and looking back on stuff in the past, is that if businesses tend to do a very to do a lot of remote working, culture starts to evaporate, and I think the things that as I mentioned, the things that are missing at the minute are the creativity, culture, and collaboration. And I think we've really got to make sure that those things are still humming quite nicely within it, within our businesses, for it to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. You've that human-to-human concept. You mentioned the interaction with prints and the interaction with stuff and creating, you know, things that we can interact with. I personally am missing being, you know, with people in the offices. And you've done some work with big flexible working spaces like WeWork, the Better Than Home campaign, was it?
Well, actually, it's two of our guys used to work at WeWork. So Gareth Dunt, or Gaz, and Nacho Varone, who heads up our Barcelona office, both worked at WeWork. And what we love about WeWork is, I think, WeWork, they really understand their brand, right? You go into WeWork space, it feels WeWork. It's cool. It's like it's better than anywhere that most people have as an office. And they've been really strong at keeping that. And what the guys told me coming from WeWork is that the culture that they had there was that they had to make the space better than home. And I think that's really interesting moving into what we're doing at the minute, you know. For people to want to come into the office, it really has to be quite inspiring. We've been talking about creating sort of almost like showcase offices. I think it is really about what is the purpose of the office. It's really sort of stepping back, like, why do we have an office? It's really easy to get caught up in this like talk of what's happening next. Should it be hybrid? What am I going to do? And then go down a route that maybe isn't suitable for your business, or you're copying everything else. Like, what do people tend to do? I don't know about your experience of this, but what we find is a lot of people just sort of, they'll go to Pinterest, they'll find some cool stuff, and they'll try and squish it all together into a new version of this bastardization of what they've found. But really what we're trying to ask people to do is like really step back from, why do you need an office? And this is, as somebody who works mainly with people designing offices, it's quite scary for me to sort of say, do you need an office? But the reality is, you know, you really need to think about what the purpose of it is, because we've sort of proven that, you know, that focused work can be done at home. And I know we're all a bit stressed out by it, and we're all working on adrenaline, really. But, you know, the focused work can be done at home. But so what's the stuff we're missing that we should be bringing back to the workplace? And it is that sort of collaboration, it is the culture, and it is creativity. So the sort of feedback we're getting is typically that everyone feels a little bit siloed. So you're working typically quite well with your team, but not across the business, and that's really affecting the how businesses are performing. So that you might be working quite well in your silo and delivering your day-to-day tasks, but the real impetus and the drive behind the business is sort of starting to stutter a little bit. So how do you get that back? What do you need to create within a workspace environment that inspires people and gets them wanting to come back and work in this creative way?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it brings it, as you say, brings it back to purpose. And it is scary when we do it at a more fundamental level, because, you know, our purpose, I mentioned the start, interaction of people and information used to be with print. And it's not anymore. You know, you can get more up-to-date information in many cases from one of these. You don't need to, by the time you printed it and mailed it to someone or printed it and they picked it up as a leaflet, it's out of date, you know. So
yeah.
What's the purpose of what we're doing? And with you, it's the interaction of branding and architecture was one of the things that, I love from some of my background as well. And it's what is that human experience?
Yeah.
You know, what is the experience with the album cover, with the office space?
Yeah.
Because, yes, I can do my tasks at home, but it's a bit like existing, isn't it? And you do lose some of the creativity and some of the drive.
I think the thing that interests me at the minute, and it's not a problem I can solve yet, but what I think that, you know, employees working from home, why would they work for Recall versus one of your competitors? You know, what is the benefit working for you? And it comes down to like what you stand for and what your purpose as a business is and how you align to those people. Because otherwise it's just going to be a monetary exchange. That's the only thing. So they're going to get slightly more money somewhere else. So what is the real driving force behind the business? And I think we're all probably a bit guilty at the minute of not communicating very well to our employees. I know I've been guilty of it, where, you know, you sort of take for granted that everyone knows what's going on, but you're not communicating it well enough or really sort of getting that drive back and the passion back. I think from my own experience and certainly some of the people I've spoken to, you know, we sort of started off at this really quite hefty pace and we were like ready to prove that this was all going to work. But I think everything's starting to tail off and everyone's a bit tired now and we'd quite like to get back to business as usual, please.
Yeah, business is better, a better version, because I think part of being together, you know, for me, any organisation and culture matters. So it's the most important thing for a business as far as I'm concerned. And that culture starts with the team around you. Mm. It starts with, you know, then it's understanding your purpose. But as you said, it's then clearly articulating that purpose so the businesses around you understand what that is. And you know, when I look at your purpose of, you know, the architecture and the branding, bringing that together, and then how you get it out. I loved when I was looking at some of your stuff, the way you then work with your clients through Maslow's hierarchy of needs to help them apply this into the design.
Yeah, we sort of came up with that off the back of a pitch, actually. We were trying to work out, you know, why are people feeling a bit crap at the minute, generally? And I'd been speaking to somebody on my podcast, a guy called Jonathan, and he'd been talking about Maslow within the context of why everyone's feeling a bit crap, you know, like right down to sort of, you've got you to, just as a reminder, that you've got Maslow's pyramid, you've got the base, which is your physiological layer, which is all the stuff you need to just survive. Then you've got safety, which is like feeling safe and being secure. Then above that, you've got belonging, which is all about your community. And above that, you've got your self-esteem and then your self-actualization. Now, prior to COVID, really, I think we all sort of had this sort of focus on the top two of how do we get our purpose? What is my real drive behind it? And then this craziness happened. And all of a sudden, like, there was no toilet roll on the shelves. And so the physiological layer just went. And then safety, we had this killer pandemic that no one really knew about or knew how to deal with. And then belonging, our community just was out from us because we were stuck at home with our kids and that was it. So self-esteem and self-actualization was irrelevant at this point. But what we were trying to do, because a lot of the things for us, we were trying to find a purpose or a way of a methodology to carry people through thinking how to approach the office. And for anybody moving office, even at the best of times, there's a lot to think about. And typically, somebody who gets landed this responsibility of, hey, we need a new office, it'll be a combination of facilities person, it might be a HR person, might be a marketing person. If they're really lucky, they'll have a workplace strategy director or a workplace director, but it's very rare. So what tends to happen is somebody with no experience of moving office gets lumped with this huge task that is so business critical that they've got to sort of suddenly fathom out all this stuff. And obviously you get great project managers. You've got like people like Gardner Theobald, and you've got great architects like Hassel and Maurice Smith and people like that that will can take you through this journey. But we wanted to help from a base level of understanding of, you know, just starting to think about, well, what do we need to do before we even engage an architect? So we sort of broke it down, and probably Maslow would be turning in his grave, but I know he was. His ambition was to sort of apply his thinking to employees. So we've broken it down. So within the physiological, you look at the physical aspects of the space. So it's talking about light, what food's available, how much relaxation space is available to us. So we've broken it out into seven different things that's a scorable by five. And you look at each of those things, each of the seven items within each of the five categories. So safety is about personal security, financial security, well-being, and so on. And then belonging is about the community, human connectivity, digital connectivity, which is a lot of stuff Rico's working on. So you can carry, basically it's a tick list of stuff, and we've got created it into this sort of diagram that you can score against it. But really, we just wanted to find a way to unpick this massive, unfathomable, complicated mess that he's working to move into a new space, or rethinking what you're going to do with your current space in a way that you can actually break down and into bite-sized chunks.
Yeah, it's funny because we came in from a different perspective, being, you know, historically a sort of office products company. Mm. You look at where you put the office products, so then you look at, well, how do people use them? So you're almost doing time and motion around copiers and things. So we've been developing a practice, probably coming at it almost from the wrong end to start with. But that develops into, well, just a minute, what are we doing? So how do we want the people to interact with each other to drive the teaming, to drive then the culture? So we understand, so we have a common purpose. And it's interesting that you sort of start to come, when you really think about it, you start to come towards a similar point, which says, yes, you provide certain building blocks, but the real goal is that self-actualization piece at the top.
Yeah.
And certainly with creating offices now to go back to and making people want to go back in, I think for me, when I've been leaving the offices in London, or when I've looked at the weeks and compared them with, well, I've had a very functional week at home, I've got loads done, compared to I've been into the office a couple of days, or I've been to a customer site, it makes you feel more engaged with the organisation. It makes you feel like you've really created something that you weren't before. And that might be a connection with a person, it might be a new idea, but you feel differently about the world.
Yeah, totally agree. I think there's some really interesting things going on at the minute. I think this is the opportunity for us all to reflect on what's the purpose of why we're working as much as what we need a workspace for. I think there's this been interesting pause, and I think there's quite famously after the plague, there was the Renaissance and so on. You know, like there will be this sort of big surge of creativity coming out the back of this, I think. And I think it's an opportunity for us to sort of reflect on the purpose of working. You know, what is the purpose of our own businesses? I mean, for us, we've aligned ourselves with the UN sustainability goals of sexual equality. And for us, that's a big driving force. So we've got two ladies that work pregnant, so we're trying to make sure that they get a really good period of time off and are looked after during their maternity. But it's something that we can all align to. I've personally got two daughters, and, you know, we've also done something called Buy One, Give One, which is b1g1.org, where whenever we win a new piece of business, we go and do a charitable thing that the designer who's working on it can pick, or we work with the client to align with the purpose within their business. So there's lots of little things that we're doing at the minute, but I still feel like there's a lot more that can be done with thinking about our purpose. And you know, we've turned down projects before because the clients that we were looking at didn't align with our goals. And we know that the work we do make people more productive and enjoy their work more. So if they don't align with our goals, then, you know, you don't want to make them more productive in doing something that we hate.
No, absolutely. You mentioned ESG because we've been focused for a long time on sort of CSR and our, you know, credibility with the environment. But now we're shifting it more to sort of ESG, so we can make those efforts measurable and real and quantifiable indicators that actually, not just the sustainability and ethical and corporate governance, but actually make them real to the people that work with us. But what's interesting with it all is just how detached you can become with this sort of new world. You mentioned after the plague and the Renaissance, I hadn't really thought about that for a long time. So it must be 30 years since I've heard those two things, and then have it linked to COVID. I think there's some sort of Renaissance coming. But in terms of the way we want to get back to these environments to enhance our lives with physical connection, physical stuff. And I'm interested as well, because we have got a lot of print organisations listening who will want to serve these new office spaces and serve these interactions. What role does that physical, that print, that imagery have, and how can it take advantage of how can the service providers take advantage of some of these shifts? Because they're certainly looking, and I'm sure that they're not all of them, but many of them have had a tough time, but they're now looking and thinking, what's going to happen next, and how can we offer something that enhances that experience and creates a sustainable business again?
Yeah, there's some really interesting, we're working on a project, and I hope they don't mind me talking about it, but TJX Europe, which is the owner company for TK Maxx, they're just touching back on your earlier point, their corporate responsibility within the organisation is phenomenal. And they're not somebody who goes off and blows their trumpet about that, but it's a very internal thing. It's really about their business, it's about their culture. They do a lot of amazing work for things like Red Nose Day and stuff like that. And they talk about it a lot internally, but they don't blow their trumpet about it externally. You know what I mean? They're not doing it for the sake of promotion. They're doing it because they get a great workforce from it. And I think that's what we've tried to capture with the sort of workspace stuff as well. It's like, what is a brand physically? It can light up, it can do this, it can, do you engage with it? What stuff we're sort of talking to the Institute of Digital Fashion at the minute. And they do some amazing augmented reality interactions and stuff, well worth a look out. In fact, I'll give you a link for their work because there's some crazy stuff in it. What's really interesting to me at the minute is this sort of combination of digital and physical and how you can transform a space by, looking through. So, you're looking through your phone within a physical environment. So you've got several things happening at the same time. And I think that the thing that really excites me about that, and certainly what we're looking into at the minute, is like, if your client comes into your workspace, or if a new member of staff comes into your workspace, what do they see that's different from a typical member of staff? Could you alter the state of it? What's their physical interaction with it? What's their, what are they mentally feeling like? And what do they feel like culturally when they get that space? I think there's some really interesting stories that have been missed in the past. And yeah, I think there's some really interesting things starting to happen now.
There are, and it's a beautiful example as well. One of my very old friends is a stylist. And when I first heard of talking about digital styling, you just think, you've lost the plot. She's styled Mick Jagger for the cover of Rolling Stone. She's done some big, big names. And then you realise, well, actually, most of the time that they're now in the public eye, digital styling is, you don't have to put something on. Yeah, AR is there. And we're never, hopefully we're never going to stop wearing clothes because we're just at home floating in a tank and, just a virtual experience like on Wally or whatever. But it's that fusion of the future, whether it's in an office, a physical experience, whether it's, the online world with prints, enhancing it. It's all these digital technologies. They will keep rolling at for ever-increasing pace. But physical, tangible experiences enhanced by those things are going to be more, I think it's going to be more important how we think these through to make sure that the value is actually in the experience of that physical office.
I think the technology is now catching up with the ambition, certainly again with the Institute of Digital Fashion. They're doing some really phenomenal things. And I think, AR before was quite jerky and jittery, and sometimes it skip and miss the connection, and it didn't quite work in some cases. But I think the technology is now starting to catch up with the ambition of what people want to actually try and achieve with it. And I think we're probably underusing digital as well. I think that there's a bit of a hurdle to get over with data, I think. But when I interviewed Kay Sargent from HOK, she referred to the fact that, you know, you've got a modern car like a Tesla, you jump in it, it identifies who you are, moves the steering wheel up to your height, the seat moves, and it's put the temperature you like, puts your favourite tune on, and you know, you're in this perfect driving environment. Whereas you go into the workspace and you're crawling around on your desk, seeing if you can find a plug socket. You know, it just hasn't quite got there yet. So I think that now there's everyone's got fortune of digital because we've got things to solve, like how do you manage a Zoom call when someone's actually physically in the office? In fact, we've just done that right now. You know, we've sort of squeezed into one laptop while we've got two other people offsite. So there's problems like that we need to solve. And I think there's some amazing stuff happening, you know, with how you could manage an office space. I'd love my office to recognize that I've walked to another desk and it sets up my computer to my typical display preferences and the aircon just right and the sound's fine and the desk's at the right height, but we're not yet there yet. And I think that there's little issues hopefully being solved by people like Tim Berners-Lee with Solid about how data is managed within that space. But once we get over that hurdle, I think there should be another surge of development in making the workspace quite an interesting environment to work in again.
Yeah, absolutely. And data in print as well. And our ability to then bring it into either an office or into a document. There's so many sources of data. And, you know, they tend to, again, follow us around on these things, but mm-hmm. they're sitting in thousands of different places, even by single organizations we deal with, like your financial services provider might have 10 different systems that all know you as something slightly differently.
Yeah.
And whether you're walking around an office and you want to walk into a meeting room and it just know who you are and have access to your data on that screen and share it with the people when you want to share it, but be secure when you don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, those are the things that are going to enable the way organizations can communicate their brand with consumers, or how the office is going to help us communicate with each other and collaborate. And as you say, I think the technology, we can all see it now. We can all see it catching up. And
just, it's connected, doesn't it? It's all sort of these various strands. I had a really interesting conversation with Simon Jordan from Jump Studios yesterday. Actually, we were sort of planning a podcast together. And what really interested me about his approach, he was sort of talking about how connectivity is not quite there yet. You know, like we've got this moment now where we can sort of think about how we work as a society. You know, we've done some improvements. We're kind of forced to make these improvements as a society on an environmental level and things like that. But, you know, culturally, could we all work better together? You know, could you share an office with your competitor and then work to create a better way of dealing with your customers collectively? You know, I'm sure that's not going to quite happen yet, but there's some creative agencies I know of, like, you know, architects firms and stuff that need the same equipment, that are starting to share offices now. You know, that they know you've got one company that'll come in for 3 days a week and the other come in for two, and you know, there's a lot of practical ways of working and thing that we can sort of collaborate on together. And I think we really need to take this opportunity to just, because we're not going to have anything like this ever again, hopefully. This is the moment now where we can actually just completely change the way we work and address what our employees want to do. You know, there's a really interesting opportunity right now that people should be acting on and really planning forward how to grab it with both hands and transform this into being the best way we could possibly work.
Absolutely. And as an organisation, that's exactly, you know, we're focused on how we can come out of this and create a better environment, a better space, a better world for us to work in and be part of and realise, you know, some of the things we've not been able to realise in the last 18 months. You realise by not having something how important that physical connection actually is.
I know. Yes. I love my team. We're really lucky. You've got a really amazing bunch of people, but there's some of them that I haven't ever physically worked with now. You know, so we've got one guy, Nacho, who was originally in Argentina and moved to set up our Barcelona office. Then we've got Gareth Gaz, who's based in Brighton at the minute, who's meant to be in the office, but we just haven't had the opportunity to work together. So it's all been so digital. I mean, Nacho loves a hug, so, you know, he must be missing us.
I bet. Yeah, I am going to go to London tomorrow, but because of the COVID acceleration, only about half the trains are running. So I was thinking, I'd usually come home at either 6 or 7. I was thinking, what's the half 8? So I think, well, I'm going to have to get a taxi, because if I'm going to stay in London till 8:30, I'm going to have to go to a bar and have something to drink. But yeah, I think that's what's known as a first world problem. Brilliant. So yeah, just thinking about wrapping it up, and from my perspective, we're looking at how we use technology to collaborate where it's about information, so it might not necessarily print. So we're thinking about office and document workflows, and where we can actually enhance the experience through printing something at the right time and relevant, or printing on different surfaces so it can enhance a workspace. And you guys are very focused on using architecture to enhance the brand and the experience. Have you got any sort of final thoughts for the viewers, for the listeners?
Yeah, I think for me, it's really just having that opportunity to step back from your workspace now and actually ask yourself, what is the purpose? What do people really need to come into the office for? You're going to find things like that to be, you know, meetings, creative collaboration, you know, the brainstorming kind of stuff that you can't do online. And then from there, you sort of start to build the brand and the office around that. I think there's a real danger at the minute of trying to copy what's going on. There's a lot of buzzwords around hybrid office and things like that, but it's such a catch-all term, and it could be interpreted in so many different ways. There's a real danger watching the big guys, like the big sort of data companies or the big digital companies, and try to copy what they do, but it doesn't necessarily apply to your business. I think you've got to sort of look at your culture. What does the organization need? What's appropriate? And then sort of build around that. And from that, you can then start to layer on your branding. And I think we you know, I'm stealing it from WeWork, but the better than home concept is, how do you make that a really safe, lovely space that people want to come and work with? There is this opportunity now that we can move away from these rows of desks and really closed, horrible, poor environments to work in, and really sort of capture an essence of your culture through the way you furnish and how the brand's represented. And we're always quite careful with our clients. We don't think it should be delivered with a sledgehammer. It's really subtle stuff. It's about what art you're talking about, you know, what art was on a wall and how you interpret the values. You don't have to write your values on a wall, and if your brand's blue, you don't have to have a blue environment. You try and create an environment that captures the culture of the organization. And I mean, it's not an easy thing to capture, but this is the opportunity now to sort of really reflect on what space your organization needs and then dress it suitably.
Absolutely. And yeah, I think to summarize, I'm going to sort of plagiarize one of your, lines on your website in terms of, there has never been a more important time to build brand engagement with customers and with employees. And without it, it doesn't really matter who your staff work for or what brands we choose to buy from. If we're spending time at home and remotely, you've got to look to transform how your business engages with those people that it wants to interact with. And you need to do that through architecture, through space, and in our case, through print. So Dan, thank you very much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Simon.
That's a wrap for today. Thank you for listening. I hope you found this episode informative. And if so, make sure you subscribe to all our upcoming episodes and let us know any feedback you may have. You can also connect with our Ricoh experts and guests on our Work Together Anywhere series page. Head to insights.ricoh.co.uk and simply click register for webinars. Ricoh.